ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो
भगवते
वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो
भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
We've been reading from chapter 34 of Canto 10, and the title of the topic is Nanda Maharaj Saved. There's a second part, but the first part is Nanda Maharaj Saved. The chapter begins. We're already at well into the chapter, but on Shivaratri, the Prajvasis decided they wanted to honor the greatest of all devotees of the Supreme Lord, Lord Shiva, by having a festival. And so they loaded up their bullock carts with articles for Yajna and gifts for the Brahmanas and so forth. And they went to a place, Ambika Vana. It's a place outside of Mathura, which means they certainly had access, you know, like this. Why didn't, when Krishna was in Mathura, why didn't they just go see Krishna in Mathura? They went to Ambika Vana, and it wasn't just them, it was a typical crowded scene with lots of people from different places going to this temple of Lord Shiva and Uma. The Brahmanas performed the rituals and took all day to get there and perform the festival. And so they took rest at night at Ambika Vana. Nanda Maharaj was a little bit separated from all the others, and the cowherd boys were a little bit separated from all the others. And while he was taking rest, a boa constrictor, that's how it's translated, a giant serpent, must have been a big serpent, slithered along his belly, saw his dinner, and started swallowing Nanda Maharaj from his feet first. And the commentary says he wanted his mercy, so he touched his feet. So like Putana came to kill Krishna, but came like a mother, so that little devotional service awarded her a very special destination. So the serpent also was a Vidyadhara, who had been cursed by Angirasa Muni or his followers, because in his Vidyadhara position, Vidyadhara means he had lots of vidya. The Vidyadharas are known to be particularly filled with knowledge, and he had the capacity, like King Chitraketu, when King Chitraketu became the ruler of the Vidyadharas, he could fly around in a Vimana. So this particular Vidyadhara named Sudarshana, his name means he was very beautiful to see, Sudarshana. So he was proud of his beauty, and he was flying around in his Vimana somewhere in the heavenly realm, and he saw the Angirasa sages that were, due to their austerities, had become very lean and not attractive looking. So he laughed out loud when he saw them. doesn't say if he said anything, but he, that's what he did. And the sages then cursed him. You don't belong being in the heavenly realm. We curse you, go to the earthly realm, become a snake. So it became a snake, based on the curse of the sages. So that was the snake that started swallowing Nanda. And what did Nanda do? Krishna! That's what, that's standard practice. Krishna. So he, Nanda, remembered the words of Gargamuni, which one part of what he said was, your son will be endowed with powers like Narayan, or be as powerful like Narayan. And with those powers he'll protect the citizens of Vrindavan. And so he called out, Krishna, please come save me. This is his son, little boy. This is a very early age. Very early age. It's after Govardhan Lila, and in between is the Rasa Lila, and then this pastime. So, still very young. So, when he called out loudly, the cowherd men that were accompanying Nanda to this festival, they woke up, and immediately, you know, their king, their revered shelter, they all had that, not just like dutiful regard for the king, but they had such affection and such regard for him. So they immediately took sticks, and some sticks were the on fire sticks that were burning in the fire at night and whacking the serpent, and the serpent didn't let go. Krishna heard. He was at some distance because the boys wanted to play and they would kind of interfere with being having the adults around. So Krishna woke. Krishna came quickly, like instantly, and don't worry, Father, and he placed his foot on the serpent. First the serpent saw him, and then came the foot. So it said just by seeing Krishna, he became freed from the curse, and by a touch of his foot, he became free from the serpent body. And then, you know, Sarpa Uvacha, he's showing this Vidyadhara form all decorated with opulences and beautiful form, etc. And he then spoke a number of things. Krishna didn't say anything. Something like Krishna didn't say anything to Brahma after the Brahma Vimohan Lila, but he spoke. Oh. There's some passage in there where Krishna said something or did something. He wanted the not only the Vrijbasis that were there in Ambikavana, but all of the other pilgrims that were there. He wanted, one of the things he was doing was teaching. There are three main things that are mentioned. He wanted, once again, to show his opulence, his Aishwarya, and then withdraw his Aishwarya, so that, you know, the sweetness predominates for the Vrijbasis. But there are others that were present, and they don't have the sweetness mood of the Vrijbasis, and it was more the Aishwarya mood that which he exhibited. He wanted to liberate this Vidyadhara Sudarshana from the curse. And he wanted, most importantly, he wanted to teach a lesson to all the Vrijbasis, specifically, don't offend a Brahmana. Because that's what Sudarshana had done. And he didn't even like so much say something, do something, he just laughed. So that's an offense. Don't offend a Brahmana because you'll have some consequences. So Krishna wanted to teach that. He wanted the Vidyadhara to express it. So the Vidyadhara did. He explained who he was in his previous life. He explained the mercy of Krishna to liberate him. And he said in this particular verse that we're discussing, that just by calling the name, this is, you know, a theme in the whole of the Bhagavatam, the importance of calling the name of the Supreme Lord. Just by calling his name, the whole world becomes liberated. So he said, I wish, he didn't want liberation. That's not what he was asking for. He didn't ask, like, I want to follow Putana's path and go to Krishna Loka. He wanted to return to Vidyadhara Loka, and having received the touch of Krishna's feet and become fully purified, not only freed from reactions of his misdeeds, but filled with bhakti, he wanted to pass that on to his associates there in the heavenly realm. Vidyadhara Loka. Like, you know, go in Sankirtan. That's what he wanted to do. He didn't ask for liberation. He didn't ask for anything. He just asked that he could return. But that's our Acharya's explanation of why he asked what he asked. Just that from the previous section that we read, here's Sanatana Goswami's comment. So it's, if you like to look up the verse, it's 10:34:17. Sanatana Goswami writes, at this time I have realized your greatness. I was immediately free from the Brahmana's punishment, which is difficult to counteract. You never fall from your greatness, O Achyuta. O Krishna, no, you never leave Gokula. Immediately I was freed in an excellent manner, just described, from the curse. I didn't go back and look at the curse. The curse may have said something, you'll be delivered. But even before being touched, I was freed, that is, just by seeing. But by the touch of your foot, I attained good intelligence to attain special bhakti. One should go in front of Brahma and other devotees and glorify the Lord. Paragraph. Simply by uttering your name even once, without any faith, without fully chanting, it purifies all people immediately. There is no qualification. It purifies all, and there is no consideration of time, since it acts immediately. And even just hearing the name has this effect. This has been my case, Atmanam Eva. Not distinguishing between hearing and chanting shows the greatness of the name. The word cha also indicates that even relatives of those who hear and chant get the effect. So devotees benefit your relatives, even if they don't hear. So now here's reference from the Adi Kanda of Chaitanya Bhagavat. You know what Chaitanya Bhagavat is. It was written before Chaitanya Charitamrita by Vrindavan Das. And he's going to be describing a pastime with Haridas Thakur and a Brahmana. There's a few of these, but this one is where the Brahmana is challenging him. So it's Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Kanda, 16, chapter 16, verse 275. The Brahmana said, quote, how does one get 100 times more benefit by loudly chanting? Next text, Haridas replied, "My dear sir, listen to the verdict of the Vedas and Srimad Bhagavatam in this regard." Haridas then revealed the purport of all the scriptures as he began his explanation in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. Now, you can know that that's an ISKCON devotee making the translation from Bengali. Ecstasy in Krishna, of Krishna consciousness. "Listen, dear Brahmana, if even animals, birds, or insects hear the holy names from the mouth of a pure devotee, they will go to Vaikuntha. Once, the cowherd men headed by Sri Nanda came to Ambikavana on the bank of the river Saraswati. After worshipping the demigods and brahmanas with a vow, they took rest there. At that time, a fierce-looking great snake began to swallow Nanda. Hearing Nanda's cry of distress, Lord Krishna," "Lord Krishna, who maintains his surrendered souls and who is affectionate to his father, touched that great snake with his left foot. The serpent was immediately freed from his reptilian body and appeared in the effulgent form of a Vidyadhara. And by the order of the Lord, he began to relate the history of his sinful activity." Yes, that was it. Krishna asked the Vidyadhara, "Please tell us who you are and how you..." There must have been a cause for you to take this body. So could you describe the cause? And the cause was his offense. Not just the curse, but the offense, even if there wasn't a curse. He began to relate the history of his sinful activities in his previous life. While offering prayers, he described the glories of receiving the touch of the Lord's lotus feet, which are rarely attained by the demigods. In the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our verse, 10:34:17, where the Vidyadhara says, "Anyone who chants your name purifies all who hear his chanting, as well as himself. How much more beneficial then is the touch of your lotus feet?" Shrishtapa Pada. Commentary. This is paraphrasing what he just said. "Moreover, O Lord, I have been directly touched by your lotus feet. Now I will return to my own planet and purify everyone by my touch, as I have been purified by the touch of your lotus feet." By this statement, quote, "By once chanting the holy names of the Lord, a person purifies himself and others," the argument that chanting the holy names requires prior faith, parentheses, in other words, the consideration that until knowledge of one's relationship with the Lord based on faith is awakened, there's no need to chant the holy names, is refuted. One can and should chant the names of the Lord while avoiding the 10 offenses, even during the 4 faithless situations of Sanketa. Then this is referenced from Canto 6, Chapter 1 or 2, where the Vishnu Dutas are describing Abbas Nam. Sanketa, or indirectly, Parihasa, jokingly, Stoba, as musical entertainment, or Hela, or neglectfully, that was what Ajamila did, Hela Namabas. So the sentence again is, one can and should chant the names of the Lord while avoiding the 10 offenses, even during the 4 faithless situations of, there's the 4 again. By using the verb gritnan, or while chanting in its present tense, the argument that the names are dependent on completeness, parentheses, in other words, the necessity of considering that until one is able to fully chant the names of the Lord, it is improper and useless to partially chant the names, parentheses, is refuted. This means that one can and should chant the names of the Lord, even unclearly, improperly, and incompletely, or partially. You feel better now? Doesn't mean you don't try for, but, you know, keep going. By using the word akilan, or to the audience, the argument that chanting is dependent on qualification, parentheses, in other words, the necessity of achieving mundane, temporary, external qualifications like taking bath, performing austerity, worshipping the deity, maintaining purity, studying the Vedas, accepting sannyas, practicing yoga, performing sacrifice, and accumulating piety, is refuted. In other words, any person in any condition can and should chant the holy name of the Lord. By using the word sadhyaha, or immediately, the argument that chanting is dependent on time. In other words, the consideration that one is purified by chanting only at particular times, not at any time, is refuted. In other words, if a person purely chants the holy name at any time, he can be fully purified. This is, Bhaktisiddhanta's got his thumbprints all over this. The word shrotrin or to the audience indicates that one should hear the holy names of the Lord. The word eva in this verse bears indication that the chanter of the holy names can purify the audience like himself. By this example, the glories of the holy name are further enhanced because the practices of both hearing and chanting yield the same results. By using the word cha in this verse, it is indicated that I will certainly and thoroughly purify persons who engage with me in hearing and chanting because I have been touched by your lotus feet. There is no doubt about this, unquote. And the parentheses, Sanatan Goswami's and Jiva Goswami's commentaries. Next text. This is Haridas again. Although animals, birds, and insects cannot chant when they hear the holy names, they will all be delivered. So get some plants in your house and chant. Deliver them. Next text, 18. Thus, receiving the permission of Lord Krishna, the demigod Sudarshana circumambulated him, bowed down to offer him homage, and then returned to his heavenly planet. Nanda Maharaj was thus delivered from peril. And there's no BBT commentary, but here's Vishwanath. If just by chanting your name once a person becomes purified, what should I attain? Having seen you and been touched by your foot. Jiva Goswami. Thus receiving permission, since silence is approval. You've heard this one before, right? Maunam samatim lakshanam. Silence is approval. He, Sudarshana, departed. Nanda was freed from danger of the snake simply by the touch of Krishna's foot. The word cha indicates that auspiciousness was given to both Nanda and Sudarshana It does not mean that Sudarshana got liberation. And then finally, Sanatana Goswami, consent was naturally given since the Lord had appeared in the Yadu dynasty to benefit the whole world. Dasharham. Krishna reveals his qualities such as inscrutability or impossible to investigate. Quote, even before Brahma, he was silent. Why should he speak to me? So we can't like figure out why he didn't speak to Brahma, why he didn't speak to Vidyadhara. Actually, he performed this pastime for the benefit of the cowherds. Sudarshana offered his respects to the Lord and Nanda. He went with difficulty because of separation from the Lord. Krishtrat. By freeing the snake, Nanda was easily freed. And that ends text 18. Tomorrow is text 19. One of Krishna's qualities is that by one thing he's accomplishing several things. So just to repeat, to astonish, to give the Brijvasis again the experience of astonishment, to enrich their parental affection, to liberate the Vidyadhara, and the third, the main purpose, according to our acharyas here, is to give instruction. The danger of offending a brahmana. So one should be very careful. We should be very careful about offending a Brijvasi also, although they may not be brahmanas. And even, you know, Brijvasis of today that are not necessarily strictly following too much of anything. But they are very special souls to be residents of Vrindavan. What to speak of the human forms, even the other forms. One of the reasons when building the Krishna Balaram temple, there was a tree, and that was right smack in the middle of the temple room floor. And Prabhupada had them build the temple around the tree. Don't cut the tree. He's a Prajvasi. And you know, so that tree became glorious. Oh, I can imagine being a tree in the middle of the Krishna Balaram temple room floor. Big tree. And then eventually, after some years, withered and died, and so another tree was placed there. I think a grafting procedure or something. And now that tree is also flourishing. So, doesn't mean you don't protect yourself from monkeys, because they can be very aggressive. And you'll go and cuddle with the hogs. But, you know, they're living entities that are very special just because they reside in Vrindavan. It's a little delicate when the pandas in Vrindavan are really aggressive, because sometimes they're really aggressive, and you have to protect yourself. But at the same time, you can't defend them, because it's very serious. And they know it. And it's part of what emboldens them to be aggressive. There's other things that embolden them also, but we have to be very careful. So any discussion?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. I have two questions. One regarding the glorification and the potency of the holy names we were hearing. Just would like to seek clarification from you, Guru Maharaj, how to apply that. In one way we see no time, place, circumstance and no bar for faith also. On the other side, we have to keep striving.
Have to do what?
Keep striving to go to the next level, be regulated. We have to actually
go from Namabhas to Shudanam. That's all. So,
yes, in terms of the time, place, I'm thinking we are advised to chant in a certain time and chant in a certain place, so that can help us.
Yeah.
So my question for clarification is, do we take these instructions and glorifications and apply according to our level?
Yes.
In the beginning, we may see, okay, it doesn't matter, I'll chant whatever.
Sure, sure. You know, go in Harinam Sankirtan, and people that are whatever, intoxicated or, you know, mad or whatever it is, if they chant, it's beneficial. If they hear the chanting, it's beneficial. There's no, so, niyamatat smarane nakala. Same. Now, Gaur Kishore's Babaji chanted in the public latrine in Navadvip. You know, public latrines are nasty, smelly, dirty, more than dirty. And, you know, the constable came in to petition him, please. And he locked the door from the inside. Don't disturb me. Anyway, he's, you know, so it's, there's Niyamatak Smadhanayi Kala. Now, for us, clean place, etc., etc., etc. What else?
The other question is regarding this Vidyadhara, going back to his play school marriage. We see many, many examples, like I was thinking Kabanda in Ramayana and Nalakuvara in Manigriva.
Yes.
Whereas we hear Putana, she went back to Goloka. What is the determining factor once they see...
Well, the determining factor is Krishna. And, you know, then one's regard for Krishna. So let's say, you know, when Nalakuvara and Madhigriva went back, they're not just like freed from a curse. They're filled with bhakti. That wasn't the situation before. So when they go back filled with bhakti, there is something's going to happen. Like, you know, it's being specific here that, you know, the other Vidyadharas are going to benefit. So one's regard for Krishna and then Krishna. With Dhruva. You know, the Lord had a plan. And not just, you know, a time-bound plan that he's going to have to rule his father's kingdom for 60,000 years or whatever it was. But, you know, some other plan after that. And the other plan after that, he didn't just go and reside, anyway, without all the details. He had some service, an ongoing service. Some details. So, those are the two factors. We here in this commentary, it's specific to Nanda and Yashoda and their special position. The commentaries make it quite clear, not only the particular regard, but also the intensity of that regard determines what happens. And ultimately, there's the dispenser, or the gatekeeper, Krishna. So, anything else? No?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Regarding the Sudarshana was laughing at the sages, it's really some kind of, it is an offense because looking at their bodily features. But in our case, maybe when we are dealing with devotees, right, there may be some misunderstandings or miscommunication. So, maybe deliberately, many times it may not be a deliberate offense, but still it could be an offense. Given the way that we present or we deal with the devotees. So, I was just thinking, what could be the implications of that, how to not to do those kind of things?
What would be the implication? Of not doing those things.
By doing those things. Because, those are really generally can happen because we deal with devotees, so yeah. Very often it will happen.
Yeah.
So, it's very easy, for us to commit offenses in those dealings. So, how to be more careful and...
How to be more careful? By being more careful. You can take any one of the 10 offenses. We're taking one of them, but in the same, with any one of the 10 offenses, carefully avoid. Guard against. Those are the terms that are commonly used. Guard against. So guard against. You're driving your car. And there's signs that say, some places that there's the surveillance camera. So you drive slowly because there's a surveillance, so Krishna's watching. Especially when be attentive to guard against the offenses because there are consequences. Now, unavoidably, unintentional offenses we made. And unintentional offenses don't have the same consequence as intentional ones, but they have consequences. So what do we do? There's two. How do we guard against, recognize you have an opportunity and you also have responsibility, like when you're driving your car. If there's an accident-prone territory, there's like curves, like anything in the road. So you drive cautiously. Don't go speeding because it's risky. And over there's a cliff, or the bridge ice is over. So you take precaution when there's special risk. And when we're interacting with devotees, it's not the same. We don't go ahead and offend anybody we like, and we're really nice with devotees. But we're especially careful with devotees, because it doesn't mean you have to tremble, or like go in a straitjacket or stay away from devotees because I may make some offense. We need the association. And you're careful. But you'll be cautious by being cautious, by hearing the instruction, understanding the territory, and being very cautious. And then what happens if you do make an offense? Do we know what to do? You go and apologize. Supposing you make you don't intend to make an offense, you don't even know it. When somebody feels offended, unintentional, and they feel offended. When you find out, be open to receive feedback and then say, well, that person there, rah, rah, rah. That's another offense. So there's etiquette with people. Refinement of culture is not easy to achieve in this age of Kali in particular. But a refined person. Here's a nice example. This is found, someone forwarded it to me in Valmiki Ramayana, and they read it in Bhakti Vikas Maharaj's rendering of Ramayana, which strictly follows Valmiki Ramayana. When Lord Ramachandra was in Lanka, and several things happened, and he wanted to get in his chariot and take off and send his most difficult weapon at Ravana. So he then commanded the chariot driver, who happened to be Indra's chariot driver, take my chariot at once. I want to kill Ravana. And then the verse, not commentary, the verse says, he then apologized to the chariot driver. Ram, the ideal character, you know, you're the chariot driver of Indra, and I shouldn't have spoken this way to you, but I was so, determined and enlivened to go kill Ravana, I spoke this way, please forgive me. So you can catch yourself if you overstep etiquette, if you're a cultured person, or a person of virtue. So it's live by your virtues. Live by your value system, not your virtues, your value system. And then if you monitor carefully, this came in our discussion yesterday evening, if you monitor carefully, then you catch yourself in the act, not only afterwards. Live by your value system. A little example of this, because there was some discussion yesterday with a college, not with a college, but a college student that was kind of criticizing or doubting or something like that, maybe somewhere in that area. How can devotees not be vegan? And, you know, their reasons. So my reply said, you can instruct this young person, live by your values. And if others don't live by your values, don't criticize them. In this particular case, you're criticizing some devotees, but you're criticizing our founder Acharya. You're not intending to do that, but that's the net result. Because Prabhupada certainly knew cow protection and what goes on with cows. And he wasn't vegan. He didn't teach us to be vegan. Now, you have your value. Live by your values. Be consistent. Here's another value. Don't offend the devotees. Making judgments and criticizing the devotees is... So, you know, be the example and live by your values, but don't criticize. Well, it's easy because people, this is Kali Yuga. Like, you know, they don't even think about it. That's part of the misfortune. We're uncultured. We don't think about it. We just do it. And, you know, the internet just promotes it. And because there's no culpability, there's no warmth, no human interaction. Very sad. Out of control. And the world around us is out of, you know, this is out of control. So what about us? We're influenced by the world around us. You'll have your values and live by your values. And be responsible. If you transgress your values, you correct yourself. And practice and practice, and that's how cultured people live. Ram showed by example. Thought again and again to Lakshman, don't criticize Kaikeyi. Don't criticize Bharat. Doesn't mean that what Kaikeyi did was good, but don't criticize. So, we have to learn from, that's another way of protecting ourselves, by learning by outstanding examples. And, you know, and keep it that you like this standard. That's what those are methods of protecting ourselves from. Okay, we're ready for online. We have the microphone?
This is Radha Kunja Bihari Prabhu. I have experienced when in distress, my chanting is fully absorbed in Krishna's names.
The air conditioning is pretty loud. I mean, you know, it's pretty hot too, so it's a trade-off. What do we do? Maybe tomorrow we'll get a fan, and maybe right now you just shut off the AC. Go ahead.
So Radha Kunjibehre Prabhu's question is, I have experienced when in distress my chanting is fully absorbed in Krishna's names.
Hey.
Otherwise my chanting is dry and tasteless. How can I remedy this?
Have lots of distress. But, you know, practice in the non-distress situation. Make extra effort because you know what the tendency is. Make extra effort. And chant with those that are making extra effort, and, you know, be around people that have that gift.
This is Uttama Bhakta Prabhu. At early stage, can one derive full benefit by visiting a holy place mentally?
Full benefit. Well, yes and no. No, it's certainly to be encouraged, but the question is full benefit. So I don't know if the answer to that is yes.
This is Lalita Mataji from Naperville. This Leela that we discussed today happened after Govardhan Leela.
Yes.
So why did Nanda Maharaj and Vrajavasis go to the forest to worship Lord Shiva and Goddess Ambika? Because in Govardhan Leela it was made clear that we don't have to worship demigods.
They didn't have to. The purpose of worshiping Indra, you know, culturally, is we offer respect to those from whom we have received. We're dependent, his argument, we're dependent upon rain because Krishna wanted to know why. So we were dependent upon rain for our livelihood, our Vaishya Dharma. And so we've received, we want to give back to the one from whom we have received. So that was the explicit purpose explained by Nanda. In this case, it's not like we've given we receive, we want to give back. It's honoring, the Acharyas explained, it's honoring the best of all Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva. That's why they did. They weren't wanting something from Lord Shiva, and so they went to worship Lord Shiva, which many people, or most people, do. They worship because they want something. Okay?
This question is from Balaram Prasad Prabhu. I was wondering about the pure chanting. I heard today that any time of the day we can chant purely. I want to know more about what is this pure chanting. Is this Anyabhilashita Shunya chanting?
Well, that definition that he referred to, that's Rupa Goswami's definition about chanting. Excuse me, about bhakti. And you can apply the bhakti definition to the chanting, and then you know it's a one-to-one matchup. But Shuddha Nam is often described in a different way. It's not like one's right and the other's wrong. But the Shuddha Nam is without offenses. And Anyabhilashita Shunyam, that has to do with, you know, one of the 10 offenses, maintaining material attachments even after understanding so many instructions. But a more complete picture is the 10 offenses. That's Shuddha Nam.
This is from Vrajabhumi Mataji. We are worried about the offenses for devotees other than family. At home, also, everybody is a devotee. How to be careful about not committing offense against them?
Ask Ningaraju, he knows.
This is Prakash Narayan Prabhu. This is a bit controversial. Sorry, but I really want to know. I saw an interview of Achyuta Gopi Mataji by GBC Strategic Planning Committee yesterday. Is it true that in South Africa, black devotees of ISKCON cannot receive second initiation because of their skin color?
Here's some water. Someone else asked that question, and I replied, I'm not sure it's true. It's hard to believe that it's true. But I have a relationship with the GBC for South Africa, and I'll ask him, is it true? And if it's so, how should I reply to this question? Well, true or not, how should I reply? I didn't receive a reply yet. So when I receive a reply, I'll forward it to Bhaktidhari, who can circulate it to, you know, whoever, including this person.
This is Hema Suryavanshi Mataji. If we have multiple things to do and all are unavoidable duties, So in the mid of all this, how can I perform sadhana with calmness?
Do your sadhana early in the morning before you do any duties. That's how. And if you don't, you'll be stressed out. But, you know, make your choice. That's it. Prabhupada ki.